Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
We are.
Yeah.
I gotta confess something to you.
You have another best friend?
No.
Well, you do.
I do have other friends, but this is much worse. I've been watching Love is Blind.
Oh! There's a new season?
5.
Oh, please don't interrupt me for the next 3 days.
The villain is so delicious.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay, that is our mutual beloved trash TV.
It's so bad.
And the thing is, it's so bad, except when it's so good, hashtag Tiffany and
yes.
Brett.
Yes! Well, there's a couple on there that is so surprising to me.
Okay.
This season. They're the only ones that made it.
I really enjoy that show. I mean, for what irks me is everyone is good looking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to Love is Blind Senior Edition.
Like The Golden Bachelor? I was thinking the same thing.
I don't know about The Golden Bachelor.
I don't watch it. I just see the commercials.
Just a Silver Fox kind of guy?
He's like 70.
Ooh.
And all the women are in their 60s and 70s.
Nice.
And it's doing phenomenally, apparently.
I would love it. So I've never seen an episode of The Bachelor.
Me either.
I hate the concept.
Same.
But Love is Blind, I love the idea of connecting with someone based on what they say.
Yeah.
Versus
what they look like.
What they look like.
Right.
I'd
love to see like an older group do it and see how it works out. Because
or people who just aren't so gym ratty and have perfect figures.
That's
and
right.
Gorgeous boobs. And,
but the people who have been lucky on that show have been a little bit older in their early 30s.
More about the 30 somethings.
Yeah. Have been a little bit. So I'd love to see like maybe, you know, a little older millennial get in there and see what happens.
Yeah. I would too. The 22, 24, 26 year olds, I'm sorry, millennials, you're not mature enough. Societally, we have suspended your growth.
We have, and you're too young to be married,
yeah,
so just stop.
So just stop.
Yeah.
Okay, on to our letter.
Yes.
This is about sisters, and I'm so excited because I just came back from my sister's weekend.
That's right.
And by sister, I mean my biological sister,
mm-hmm.
my former sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
Now called sister,
mm-hmm.
and my best friend from college,
yep.
and princess's godmother, who's like a sister.
That's right.
You know? So sisters of choice are mm-hmm. definitely a thing. So, okay. Hi, ladies. I love your podcast. I really enjoy your compassionate and wise words and have related so much to many of the questions your listeners have asked. Keep up the excellent work.
Thank you.
Mm.
I appreciate it.
I listened keenly to the episodes about sisters. Here I go. I'm slipping into a British accent.
Why not,
though?
I think
she's
British.
But
why not?
I listened keenly to the episodes about sisters and wondered what your take would be on my own sister dilemma. Prepare for a novel. Sorry.
Mm.
The question is, do I have to support a sister in crisis when there is always a crisis?
Mm.
And do I have to put up with obnoxious behavior when there's a divorce because divorce trumps everything else?
Mm.
After a rocky 12-year relationship in which there was one breakup and reconciliation, several threats of divorce, blow-ups every few months, crying phone calls, inappropriate oversharing from both sides, accusations of verbal abuse and alcoholism from both sides, massive over-involvement from both families, meddling from both sets of parents, triangulation and shooting the messenger, and last but not least, financial enmeshment. My sister finally got divorced from her husband.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Where's that television show?
Yeah.
We are in our late 40s, and I have always been her shoulder to cry on. Our mother is not very maternal or empathetic, and both our parents are emotionally distant. Well, they're British.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
That's what we're thinking. We don't know that you're British. We're just making sweeping generalizations. I always felt my sister wanted mothering from me, as well as unconditional support, no matter what. However, despite me showing up and supporting my sister, she can be rude and at times obnoxious toward me. If she's angry and has been drinking wine, her criticisms take on an unpredictable and wild quality. One recent example is this. I took my friend's dog for a walk, and I commented on what a lovely dog he is and how he seems to listen to me when I talk. And she said, "Well, we all know you're desperate to be liked."
Wow, that's... Ouch. Yeah.
Her comments can be killer. When I met my partner and felt happy, she texted me, "I'm pretty sure you'll fuck it up."
Wow.
We have a strained history that accelerated when she dated my ex-boyfriend in our 20s. It was a genuinely horrific episode for me in which both she and the ex mocked me and called me pathetic for not endorsing their relationship. We managed to repair the relationship to some extent, but it's like treading on eggshells, and it doesn't take much to set her ballistic temper off. Over the last few years, I've worked with a wonderful therapist and managed to start detaching from the never-ending family drama. I tend to be a rescuer and a listener, but I've done a lot of soul-searching about why I became who I am and what I want from my life. I've let go of some crappy friendships, made some new and more balanced friendships, and I quit my corporate job to retrain as a psychologist.
Oh, nice.
I got accepted into a prestigious school, and I'm proud of how far I've come. So are we. We're very proud of you.
Yeah.
Back to the dilemma. I got so stressed out about my sister's divorce saga and its effect on the entire family that I had to detach. My sister feels abandoned, and it may be she doesn't remember arguments or sending texts because there's a lot of wine involved, but she tends to deny saying things and frequently accuses me and others of lying. She's told an untrue version of events to our parents and some of our mutual friends. Our dad showed her texts I sent to him in confidence, expressing how stressful the situation is. So that provoked another explosion.
Gosh.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
She's now waging an escalating smear campaign. I have a good relationship with her kids, but she now doesn't allow any in-person contact. They nevertheless text me, and we continue our warm relationship. I want to be a calm, consistent, and reassuring presence in their chaotic lives. I sometimes feel guilty for detaching. I know divorce is very hard. But the venting never ends, my advice is never heard, the insults are never far away, and there is little interest in me or my life. The suggestion of therapy is rejected because everything is someone else's fault, and why would she need any insight into herself and the effects of our parenting? In our last blow-up, she said, "My divorce is more important than your pathetic career change."
Mm-hmm.
I am under growing pressure from our aging parents to apologize to her, make nice, forget about my need for civility, and return to normal service. I always did that, but I've changed. Interacting with her depresses me, and I just don't want to do it anymore. Am I deluded here? Am I really the crappy sister and the crappy friend in this scenario? Should I re-engage because divorce trumps everything? Yours faithfully, a sister who's reached her limit.
All right, Kristen Higgins.
Take it up, Joss.
Who, me? I would say that I love the direction you're going into in terms of protecting yourself and your mental health. I think that's the correct way to go. I'd love more information about your sister dynamic in terms of, are you the older or the younger? Have you been more successful or not? It seems to me that there could be a lot of jealousy in there, which is why she puts you down so much. And were I in your shoes, I would disengage and I would let my parents know I'm not dealing with this anymore. It is traumatic.
Mm.
It is toxic. It is harmful. I will be there for her kids for whatever, but I'm not going to engage with her anymore.
Yeah.
So please do not call me with her antics. If you do, this is where you're setting your boundary. If you call me with her antics, I'm going to say, I really don't want to hear this. And I hang up the phone, or you come up with your own boundary and then you stick to it. I just think it's way, way, way too much toxicity that you've been dealing with for the majority of your life. And you shouldn't. You're happy now. You're in a new career. You found a lovely partner. I do believe there is some rivalry there, a little sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
That's why I was curious about the age range. Sorry. That's why I was curious about the age range, whether you were the younger or the older. I bet she's the younger.
I think she's the older.
The sister is the older.
She says, "I've always been her shoulder to cry on."
Yeah, I think she's the older.
Maternal.
Yep.
She wanted mothering for me.
Yeah.
I think my guess is you're close in age.
Okay.
And my guess is that there's always been competition between the two of you.
Yes.
And she must win.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, that's fine. Well, you know, I'll let you shine. Mm-hmm. But so I agree with Joss. I think you're doing the right thing. I think you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. And I think you absolutely should continue to detach and don't worry a thing about what she's saying.
Don't.
To others, mm-hmm. right? People have had their own experiences with her. Mm-hmm. They can judge for themselves. Mm-hmm. Secondly, your parents want you to make nice because that will prove that they weren't the worst parents in the world.
Right.
That's all about them.
Yeah.
And nothing about you.
Truth.
They are not protecting you. They are not sticking up for you. They are not weighing in a balanced, measured way.
Right.
They just want their girls to get along because that makes them good parents.
Well, and yes, and no one will say that they raised a hellion, a complete hellion. One good child and one really hellish child.
And it's very hard, and I speak from experience, when you have the horrid child mm-hmm. and the mom just wants to believe that there's a better person in there, despite all evidence to the contrary.
Right.
And so that's what your parents are doing. They're ignoring all the evidence mm-hmm. because she's their daughter. Mm-hmm. They love her. Mm-hmm. They've saved her. But I want to go into why you've stuck it out this long. And here's what I have to say about that. Mm. She makes you feel important.
Mm.
She makes you feel successful because her life is such a mess.
It is such a mess.
And yours is better by comparison. And you get to be wise mm-hmm. and offer counseling. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be a counselor, a mm-hmm. psychologist. So it's right on track. So you're trying to fix her and it makes you feel smart mm-hmm. and helpful and compassionate. And you get to do it again mm-hmm. and again and again because her life is always a shit show. And your reward for this is that feeling of, oh, look at me. I'm such a great person. I'm so caring. And your punishment is her vitriol,
mm-hmm.
her abuse of you.
Yes.
Both you and your sister know the score.
Yeah.
And she's always going to be losing because it sounds to me, Joss, like she's a complete narcissist.
I would think so.
We're not psychologists,
no,
right?
And without knowing too much about what's going on with her, but just the kind of chaos that is her life, it could be right. Yeah. Narcissism.
Nothing is ever her fault.
No, right. Right.
You know, my divorce is more important.
Who said that? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
It's not a thing. Divorce is a traumatic event that you have to go through, right?
Yeah.
If you're getting divorced. I love that her kids reach out to you. I think you should continue that. If you're in your 40s, I'm guessing the kids are in their teens or younger. Hang in there. They'll be grown soon.
They probably really need you. You're probably very stabilizing
right.
influence.
And I would urge you, don't try to save them. You lack the power, given your role in mm-hmm. the family and that your sister probably won't let you have a relationship with them to punish you. But, you know, you can be there. You can drop them a cartoon or a note and just let them know you love them mm-hmm. and you're here and you enjoy them. Because, yeah, they're going through
chaos.
You know, it must be awful to have mm-hmm. her as their mother. But you can't fix your sister, and you should stop trying. And, you know, honestly, we talk often about the mythology of female friendship, the Steel Magnolias, the Rachel and what's her name? Monica.
Yeah.
Sisters have it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either arch enemies or you're the best of friends. You know, I have a sister and we're the best of friends. And, you know, she's my oldest friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've loved her since before I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you hope for, mm-hmm. but that's not always what you get.
Right.
And you have to deal with what you get and not this mythology of, but she's my sister.
Yeah, that's, you know? That's so true.
She's an abusive, obnoxious alcoholic. A lot of the stuff that you describe is very symptomatic of alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know, the lying, the lack of responsibility, the rage, the I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I so So what I would do is say, I'm taking a step back, sis. I'm going to block your number for a while because I'm tired of these texts telling me what a shitty person I am. And I'm rooting for you to get to a better place in your life and your peace and happiness. But stop calling me.
Well, and you set that boundary. I encourage you to set that boundary, but keep in mind you're going to have to follow up. So the family events, what's your plan? Come up with a plan for if you have to go to a family event and you'll see her there. Talking with her kids, what's your plan? Yeah. I mean, come up with plans for all of these scenarios.
Plan and a script.
Yeah, for all of these scenarios.
So maybe you're visiting dad on his birthday and she's going to be there too. You can say, good to see you, sis.
Right.
I love that color on you.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yep. Every single time. You can't back down.
If she corners you and is like, you're not going to believe what happened.
Yeah.
I've got more drama to tell you. You can say, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry that you're going through this, but I really don't want to hear the details.
Yes.
Because you never listen to me.
Yeah.
I can't help you.
Right.
You have to go through this on your own.
Right.
And you can say that with love and compassion.
Very calmly, just the way Kristen did. Mm-hmm. And then you walk away.
And you walk away and, you know, kiss dad on his head and go check on your own kids or whatever. It's not. If it ever gets better, it will be because your sister is now sober.
I do wonder. The stuff she was mentioning about her did sound sort of addictive. I do think, though, that more than the sister, she's going to have an issue with the parents because she's not going to block the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents are going to want to tell her everything. And, you know, your sister needs you for this. So come up with a way to deal with that, to set those boundaries there as well.
I'll tell you what I did with my mom, and I had to do it many, many times before it stuck. Mom, I'm not going to talk about him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, cut him out of my life, set that boundary, and I'm staying here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that it makes you feel upset, but I can't expose myself or my children to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it became almost like a mantra.
Yeah.
I never said anything new. Mm-hmm. I might have phrased it a little differently, but it wasn't like I had it written on an index card. But eventually, she stopped saying, are you ever going to make it right with your brother?
Yeah.
You know? And so I had that same pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You're the good kid.
Mm-hmm.
And in an alcoholic family, there's the addict.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the hero child.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a third or a fourth, they tend to vacate the premises.
Mm-hmm.
They move to another state or take an international job or they just don't get involved. And but the hero child is the one who's doing everything right, always comes to try to fix things, is the one that you call when you need something. When dad is in the hospital, you're there. And it's your role. I bet it's been your role your whole life.
Yeah.
To fix things, to patch things up. You know, when she was dating your boyfriend.
For the love of God.
And pressuring you to accept their relationship. No.
Where's the loyalty? What kind of sister? Oh, no. My God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And, you know, I think I've written a book where that happens. But it doesn't. It doesn't happen because it's commanded.
No.
You must accept us.
No, you don't have to. No. Again, you're on the right path. You're doing the right things. Setting a few more boundaries is what's going to be the best thing for you. And really reminding yourself that if you took out the fact that this woman was your sister, you would have nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing to do with her.
And if you have children, I'm not sure if it said that you do, but if you do, or even for your niece and nephew's sake, you want to model the kind of behavior
correct
to the children
mm-hmm.
about what is acceptable, what you deserve, and when you will stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And in my situation, that was what did it. It was I modeling to my children that it's okay to take this kind of shit and abuse and meanness, because you're related.
Yeah.
And the answer is no, it's no, not okay. And you have to show them that.
Yeah.
If you show them that, you just keep taking it. It's mm-hmm. okay. Because, you know, blood mm-hmm. thicker than water. Just keep getting your head slammed in the door. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we do here. It's a terrible lesson.
It is. And I understand that it's hard for people to get over the fact because family is supposed to be everything.
Yeah.
We hear it everywhere. And it's hard for people to separate themselves from family. Sure, you can dump a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you can dump a friend, but you don't dump family. But sometimes
you have to.
You have to.
And I'll tell you, it's really nice not to have that stress mm-hmm. and that vigilance. Mm-hmm. Watch what you say. How is she? Mm-hmm. What's her mood? Let me structure my sentences around what she's going to receive. It's exhausting, and you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So you're not being a crappy sister. You're being a really good friend to yourself.
And your partner, I'm sure she does not, has no more interest in mm-hmm. hearing about this than you do.
Right. And you think about all the mental energy and space and drama that this person brings into your partnership.
Yeah.
And you think, yeah, he or she don't want to hear about it anymore.
Right. Absolutely.
And when they stop hearing about it anymore, you're going to find other things to talk about.
Yeah.
That are more interesting and pleasant and fun. So, it's tough, it's necessary, and we know you can do it.
You can. You're getting a degree in it, basically.
Yeah, baby.
You're doing it.
Uh-huh. You're on the road. Joss, any embarrassing personal problems recently?
I have decided to see a personal trainer.
Ooh.
And I went last Monday for a consultation only.
Mm-hmm.
Wear your workout clothes. We're not going to work out. This is just to see where your flexibility is.
So they were lying. Balance. They were lying
to
you.
No, they didn't lie. It was very easy. I did maybe 3 squats. 2 days later, I was sore as hell. I'm going to die with this personal trainer is my point. I'm going to do it. You know, I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going to continue, but it's going to kill me. So I went for a real session yesterday and I was very sweatful and I felt very, you know, good about myself after I left. I felt very superior, which was kind of the point of doing it.
Right.
Also.
That's the only reason we work out.
Yes, is to feel very sanctimonious and superior. And I went home and then all of a sudden, like, I was exhausted and I went, you know, I took a shower, I went to bed and I felt very old and frail. And this morning I woke up and I was like, oh, my back. Oh, God. I'm not quite sore yet, but tomorrow, listeners, tomorrow is going to be bad. Very bad.
I can only recommend some Advil before bedtime.
I've been taking the Advil. So the embarrassing part of that was that I did 3 squats and was sore the next day. That's the embarrassing part of last week.
No, but it's also the glorious part is you did 3 squats.
I did 3 squats.
After not having done any squats.
Not
for quite
at all
a while.
For at least the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
I was been active for the whole pandemic. So, yeah. And I told Kristen I wasn't trying to like get, you know, my summer bod or whatever. I'm just trying for some strength, some balance, and some flexibility.
Right.
So we'll see how that
Those
goes.
Those things that make everyone's life better.
Yeah.
Regardless of how flexible you are.
Yeah.
I remember being in a yoga class and this 86-year-old woman.
Wow.
Did a full split in front of me.
Doing the splits. Like,
wow. That's so impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, well, I was a dancer all my life.
Oh.
And I never stopped dancing and stretching.
There you go.
I'm like, well, okay then.
Yeah.
And then I had a trainer tell me, oh, you know, you can't just work your way into a split. Not everyone is meant to do a split.
Oh.
Don't try to do a split, Kristen. And I tell you, those were wonderful words to hear.
Wisdom.
So in my yoga class, I am the least flexible person, but I am more flexible than I used to be.
Well, and that's the whole point.
That's the goal.
That is the goal. And I tell you, I started, I decided I wanted to do a personal trainer when I saw a show on Netflix, of course, which I recommend, called The Blue Zones.
Yes, about the people who live the longest.
Who live the longest. And what they do in order to live longer is eat well, do very natural exercises. So they profiled a community in Japan who, and it's a rural community, suburban, and they all of their furniture is very low. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's Japan, very, very low. So these people, and mostly no chairs, because they're always like squatting and kneeling. Yeah. And so these people squatted every day of their lives.
Right.
So they're 100 years old, and that's the exercise they do.
And they can get off the floor with far less noise than I can.
Hello. And but that's the only exercise they do. When they talk about it, it's a very natural exercise. It's, let's walk up this hill.
It's being active.
It's just being active. It's gardening.
We don't have a car, so we walk to the market, you know.
Right. So I thought I'd start with a personal trainer. His name is John. He's very nice to me, understands that I am frail.
Is he attractive?
He is very young and attractive, yes.
Yeah. Just like it helps, right?
It helps. Yeah.
When I had Evil Boxing Trainer.
is that what we're calling him now?
Way back when. I really enjoyed the boxing, I will say. But
he destroyed you.
He destroyed me. I would have to come home from the gym and go to bed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It was not the right fit. And he would say, "You're an athlete now, Kristen." I'm like, "No, I'm not.
No,
no, no. I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. I'm an author. Please don't make me be an athlete."
Yeah, don't want to do it.
but you find what's right for you.
Yeah,
and you do it, and you push yourself a little bit more. See what else you can do. You stood on one foot for 5 seconds. Maybe next time you can do it for seven.
That's the goal.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.